You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Yes, hello, welcome along to the midweek edition of The Punt. We're going to look ahead to some of the Champions League qualifiers and the Europa League qualifier involving the British teams this week. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined in the studio by Sam Norris. How are you, Sam?
Hello, Mark. I'm very well, thank you. Premier League football is back.
It is. Premier League football is back. We're getting towards the business end of the Champions League qualifiers, if you like, so we'll know who's going to take part in that competition. It feels like it's never been away, Sam.
Yeah, indeed. And we're only a few weeks after the Euros, aren't we? And football's right back into the swing of things. As you said, European football kicking into gear. Now, we're beginning to lose some of the lesser lights of the Champions League qualifiers. We're getting into the proper professional teams. The Albanian Farmers are being knocked out gradually one by one. So we're starting to see the big teams in action now.
We are. Just a quick word on the Premier League getting back underway this weekend. Before we get stuck into the midweek games, Sam, we'll spin through a few of these. Manchester United, now with Jose Mourinho in charge. Mm. It was a winning first league game for him. They beat Bournemouth 3-1. A goal for Zlatan Ibrahimovic as well in a man of the match performance. Perfect start, really, wasn't it, for United?
Yeah, couldn't get much better. Of course, they'd have liked the clean sheet, but as you said, it was a very pleasing start for Zlatan Ibrahimovic. I was really impressed with Eric Bailly as well, the defender that they've brought in. I thought he had another superb game. He really excelled in the Community Shield as well. So a couple of new signings beginning to come to the fore. It was also a really good performance from Marouane Fellaini, who took a lot of pelters towards the back end of last season. But I think he finished that game with a 98% pass accuracy. I think he only misplaced one pass in the entire game. So it's good for United fans in that the new signings seem to be gelling well, and the faces of old are also sort of returning to their best form. There's another goal for Wayne Rooney. I think he scored 7 now on the opening day of the Premier League season, more than any other player currently playing. So it was genuinely positive signs for Manchester United. Key, I think, that they got the goal just before half-time, because you wonder, under Louis van Gaal, would they have had that dominance in the game and actually been able to force the issue and get over the line and put on a good performance for the fans and get a couple of goals? So, yeah, very pleasing start to Jose Mourinho's tenure.
Liverpool sit second in the table by way of goals scored, obviously beating Arsenal 4-3 in a real exciting and interesting opening game.
Yes.
Raising the question of whether Liverpool can challenge this season, and once again opening the door for all kinds of Wenger out criticism and slating of his transfer policy. So
yeah, it started early this year, hasn't it?
Yeah.
I think the game as a whole, whilst it was an excellent one to watch as a neutral, especially after we saw a couple of so-so games on the Saturday, a couple of 1-1s, a couple of teams keeping it tight, it was excellent to see a 7-goal thriller there. To be honest, I think it really, for all the firepower both sides have got going forward, and they do both have goals in them, I think it just exposed how frail both their back lines are, to be honest. Obviously, Arsenal, a number of key injuries in the centre-back department, having to start Callum Chambers and Rob Holding. Obviously, not ideal preparation for them. But Liverpool as well, to ship 3 goals to an Arsenal side that was missing, you know, the creative likes of Mesut Ozil. Giroud didn't start, who's their usual focal point, and they still conceded 3. So while it was a great game and we saw plenty of attacking flair, it just sort of underlined to me why I don't think either are real title contenders, because you won't be able to defend like that against Manchester City, Manchester United and Chelsea and be able to score 3 or 4 goals to make up for conceding. So it was a good game, but I think it exposed the defensive frailties that both Arsenal and Liverpool have, and I didn't fancy them much pre-season, and I didn't see enough from their back lines to suggest that they're going to be stable enough to generally contend. But it was a great game, of course.
Yeah, and what did you make of Manchester City's opening day performance? The 9-4 to win the league, obviously got the victory in Pep's first league game in charge. Bit of controversy before the start with Joe Hart being dropped.
Yes.
What did you make of it?
I think, you know, it's almost a little bit of Pep, that is. He wants to come in and do something to stamp his authority on the club, say this is my time now, it's under my management. So I didn't think he'd drop Joe Hart, but I did think there might be a little bit of something that he did to announce his arrival in that way, sort of to say this is the way things are going to be going forward. To be honest, Mark, the win just, it left me a little bit cold. I mean, yes, they won the game, but it wasn't anywhere near as impressive as Manchester United's victory, I didn't think. So I wasn't wowed by the win. You do have to win games when you're not playing well to win the title. It's early on in the season, but 3 valuable points. And they all count the same in the table, but I wasn't wowed by Manchester City. And I think they will be better throughout the season, but they're going to have to be, because it wasn't a glorious performance against Sunderland.
No, no. I suppose the good thing is they won the game. Aguero started scoring straight away, so so positives there. Chelsea obviously play on Monday night, so we can't really talk about their new season just yet. But the betting sounds like this at the moment in the outright market. City are 9-4, Man United 11-4, Chelsea 11-2, Liverpool 6ers, Arsenal 8-1, 12-1 for Tottenham Hotspur, 50-1 or bigger prices for the others. Obviously, after game one, we already know what's going to happen, Sam. Who wins the Premier League?
Well, to be honest, it's the team I fancied, the team that haven't played yet. Chelsea at 11-2. They were 6-1, obviously coming for a little bit of support. The trade is just readjusting the market after the weekend, perhaps. And, you know, I just think we saw how tactically astute Conte can be over the summer in the Euros. Italy played really well there. They've signed N'Golo Kante, who I'm not saying he's going to win in the league single-handedly, but a lot of people do agree that, you know, alongside Vardy and Mahrez, it wasn't a one-man show, but he was one of the key players that won Leicester the league last year. So I think he's a superb signing. Maybe they're lacking up top. Whether Costa and Batshuayi can score enough goals, that's probably a slight question. But I just think they've got more in their favour. And it's slightly a price play as well, Chelsea. The fact that they're 11-2, it's more of an each-way price than Manchester City or Manchester United. Arsenal, they've got a few players to come back, obviously, but they are the only team at the top who aren't going through a transitional period. So they have got that in their favour. They're the only team where the players aren't trying to adjust to a new manager. That they know very much what Arsene Wenger wants of them. He's been there for such a long time. So that's a point in Arsenal's favour, I think, the fact that they aren't transitioning at the moment. But I like Chelsea at 11-2. Maybe shy goal scorer, which is a big thing. You can't just go and find a 20 goal a season man, but if they can break the bank and bring Lukaku back or a player of that ilk, then it doesn't have to be that good. Even someone just to support Batshuayi and Costa, then I think Chelsea will run the Manchester clubs very close this season.
And if Eden Hazard was to ever bounce back to form, he probably could be that 20 man
if he
season.
If he fancies it this season, because he didn't didn't for most of last season, did he? But you know, he showed in the Tottenham game when they drew that one to deny Spurs the title. Showed that when he's in the mood and when he wants to switch it on, you know, he hasn't gone at the game. He still retains all his ability. I just think it was a question of maybe not putting it all in last season at times.
Yeah, there's a preview on the William Hill website at the moment, which features Dave Kellner looking ahead to Chelsea against West Ham. If you get a chance to have a watch of this, if you're listening to this on Monday, he comes up with he says a brilliant little line about Eden Hazard in there. He says, the little magician did the unfavourable trick of going missing for a whole season or something like that, which I thought was a clever little line.
Yes.
So well done, Dave Kellner, for that one. Anyway, let's get stuck into the action midweek. Tuesday night is where we start. Steaua Bucharest take on Manchester City in the Champions League qualifiers. Steaua Bucharest 6-1, the draw 7-2. Man City are 4-9. We've got enhanced odds offers here as well. Sergio Aguero to score and Man City to win. That was 21-20. That's now 6-4. That will appeal to many, I'm sure. And Kevin De Bruyne to score in a Man City win, 1-0, 2-0, or 2-1. That was 6-1. And that's now been enhanced to 7-1. Those are the City side of things. They're very short in the betting. Sam, are you leaning that way?
I think they're too short, to be honest with you. 4-9, Manchester City. I'm happy to pass them over at that price. They don't have a glorious record in the Champions League away from home in terms of keeping clean sheets. Just 3 away clean sheets in the Champions League in their last 20 games for Manchester City. So that is just it in the Champions League, sorry. So it's a pretty poor record. And to be honest, that's gone through into other competitions. And I know they've played a lot of tough sides in their friendlies and stuff, but it's actually 8 matches in a row now without a clean sheet for Manchester City, going back to the Premier League last season, the Premier League this season. The last 8 games, they've played 4 Premier League games, 3 friendlies, and the reverse leg against Real Madrid in the Champions League last year. No clean sheets in any of their last 8 games. And no matter how much money they throw at that defence, Mark, they still look suspect without Vincent Kompany. I know he's back in training. He obviously wasn't ready for the Sunderland game. Whether or not the Bucharest game is going to come too soon for him, I don't know. But without Kompany, as I said, they just continue to look really suspect at the back. They've added John Stones, who is a player I like, but the defensive part of his game perhaps hasn't caught up with how good he is on the ball just yet. Yep. So I'm not sure him alongside Otamendi or Mangala is necessarily going to be the answer for Manchester City. So without Kompany, I think there's a chance for any team to score goals against them. And Steaua Bucharest actually have a really good home record. You'd expect them to be good at home domestically, that, you know, they are one of the leading lights in their country. But they've only lost one competitive game at home since August 2015. Obviously, you know, again, they're playing Romanian sides domestically week in, week out. So you would expect them to have a really good home. And they've actually got a good home record in the Champions League as well. They've lost just one of their last eight Champions League games at home since Chelsea went and put four past them. So just one defeat in eight in Champions League at home games, that is. They've won four, drawn three. They've drawn to the likes of Schalke and Basel as well, and lost just one of those games. So they actually do fairly well on home soil in this competition, and of course domestically too. So I think Steaua Bucharest can definitely get on the score sheet today, especially if Vincent Kompany doesn't start for Manchester City. I think Steaua Bucharest can score. An interesting goal scorer player as well, Nicolae Stanciu, might be the man to do so. We saw him for Romania during Euro 2016. He's actually got four goals in seven caps for Romania. His record for Steaua Bucharest isn't quite as impressive as that, but it's not bad. He's round about a 1-in-3 man for Steaua Bucharest. He's actually scored three goals in their last couple of Champions League games, including a brace in the home leg against Sparta Prague. So he's in good nick, Stanciu. And he's 3-1 to get on the score sheet any time. Now, you compare that to, obviously, all the leading lights for Manchester City are, as you'd imagine, very short in the market. But you have to go all the way out to Jesus Navas to find 3-1 about a Manchester City player who scored twice in his last 100 games for Manchester City.
Yeah.
So 2 3-1 shots there. I'd much rather take Stanciu, who is very much the man for Steaua Bucharest and scored twice at home against Sparta Prague and scored one away as well. So he's in good form. I like him anytime at 3-1. As we said earlier, it'll be interesting to see who City go for in goal after Willian Caballero got the nod over Joe Hart at the weekend. And, you know, chopping and changing a goalkeeper is unlikely to instill a confidence in a defence that a lot of people have got question marks over anyway. So that's another point in the Romanian side's favour. I mean, City should have too much firepower on paper to win. I mean, they're clearly the better team. They should really go on to win the game. But it wouldn't surprise me if it was a scruffy win, a little bit like it was against Sunderland. Or maybe even Steaua get a point here. As I said, they've got an incredibly good home record. So I think the bet for me, Mark, Steaua Bucharest +2 at 8-15, slightly bigger than the 4-9 available about Manchester City. You're giving a very good home side a two-goal head start against the Manchester City defence, who, without Kompany, always look like they can leak goals. Three away Champions League clean sheets in 20. No away clean sheets the last eight in all competitions. Give Bucharest a two-goal head start, 8-15. I think that'll do for me.
So, in theory, though, are you expecting City just to win by the odd goal? Is that what you're thinking?
Yeah.
I think
in terms of a scoreline, I could see it being 2-1 again.
Yeah.
And doing it in a similar vein that they did against Sunderland. Not necessarily wowing anyone, but probably getting the job done. And yeah, I'd probably favour the 2-1 over the 1-0 because I don't really see them keeping a clean sheet at the moment. So I think, you know, you get Steaua Bucharest +2. They can lose the game by a goal and you've still got a winning bet there. And it's, you know, there's only a sliver of difference in it, but it's a slightly bigger price than City outright at 4-9.
Yeah.
Bucharest 8-15. And you get, obviously, the draw and the Steaua win running for you as well.
Yeah, the reason I ask is if you determine that City will win the game, but probably only by a goal, then you could back Steaua Bucharest plus a goal, but the match to finish a tie on that handicap. That's 13-5.
Yeah, big price.
Obviously, the other side of it, you've got a Steaua win.
Steaua
win, which is hard to say. Included in that as well, factored into there. So that's what, you know, that's why that's 8-15. But
yeah, you're right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm playing that for the insurance of the more for the insurance of the draw. Whether or not Bucharest can win, I'm not sure, but I think they're certainly capable of getting a draw. So I'd take the 8-15 because I want the insurance on my side. But I think it's a really good price, especially compared to City's outright price.
Yeah. All right, so you're expecting a pretty tight game then, all in all?
Yeah, probably a narrow Manchester City win, but I think both teams will get on the score sheet, and I think Steaua Bucharest will serve up all the trouble City can handle.
Let's move on to Wednesday night's game then. Celtic against Hapoel Beersheva. Celtic 4-6 in the betting, the draw 12-5. Hapoel Beersheva 5-1. Celtic to qualify 4-9. Hapoel Beersheva are 13-8. There's some enhanced odds offers here as well. Lee Griffiths to score in a Celtic win is 2-1, having been 29-20. Anthony Nawakemi is the Hapoel side of the offer. Him to score in a Hapoel Beersheva win is 12-1 from 17-2. Moussa Dembele to score Celtic to win 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. That was 5-1. That's now 6-1. And Nawakemi to score in a Hapoel Beersheva win by 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1. Is at 14s from 12-1. So plenty of varying enhanced offers in there. Sam, are you leaning towards the Celtic side of them?
Just about. I like Celtic in this one. I think home advantage is obviously key. You know, teams do like their home advantage, and that's why I probably think they're the best bet. I think of the three British sides, in terms of City and West Ham as well. But it's interesting because I actually watched Hapoel Be'er Sheva in the Israeli Super Cup last week against Maccabi, and that was a bizarre game. Really, they found themselves 2-0 down at half time, Hapoel, but they created a boatload of chances in that first half. Ended up winning the game 4-2. I think they had over 25 shots in the game, Hapoel, and that's very much a common theme in a lot of their league games, Hapoel. They do create plenty of chances and can score goals. You see in the last five games there, they've scored four twice and five once. It's a slightly different story, however, when they go away in the Champions League. They've already played two qualifying rounds this year, and both times they've done their winning in the home leg and have kept it extremely tight when they go away. They held Sheriff and Olympiacos to goalless draws when they went away from home. So that's naturally, I think, a blueprint that they'll try and copy again. With this two-legged tie, they'll want to try and keep it tight away from home, go for the 0-0 again, and then get them back to Israel and do the business there. However, I don't think they'll be able to keep Celtic out. I think they will concede, and when they do concede, I think Hapoel will revert to the tactic that we've seen more in their league games and certainly the Super Cup last week, where it's attack, attack, attack after they've conceded a goal and try and outscore their opponents. The reason I think Celtic will score is they had a man in Lee Griffiths who scored plenty last season. They've added Moussa Dembele and Scott Sinclair to that attack now, Celtic. So they've actually got a lot going forward, have Celtic. I think over 2.5 in this game, Mark, is 21-20, which is odds against. I think that's amazing, that is. Maybe the traders will look at the fact that Hapoel's last two away games, it's been 0-0. They've tried to keep it tight. But as I said there, I just see the game panning out. Celtic will get a goal. And then I think Hapoel will just think, well, let's try and do what we're actually good at as well, which is creating chances and scoring. So over 2.5 at 21-20, I really, really like. It's landed in three of Hapoel's last five in all competitions. It's landed in four of Celtic's last five in all competitions. We saw the Celtic attack flex their muscles against Motherwell in the League Cup when they thumped them 5-0. Before that, they got off to a winning start in the SPL campaign, a hard-fought victory against Hearts when they won by 2-1 there. So plenty of goals, I think, are coming in this game. 21-20 is the main play. In terms of goal scorers, as I mentioned there, Lee Griffiths scored plenty last season. He'll be a popular choice. He's even money to notch any time. And he scored three in Celtic's last three in the Champions League, and he takes penalties. So I can see why people will be leaning towards Lee Griffiths. But I like one of the new signings, Mark. Scott Sinclair's 7-4 to score any time. He's played twice for Celtic since signing from Aston Villa. He scored in both of those games, including the winner against Hearts less than 24 hours after his transfer. And at 7-4, I think he's a big prize. I think Celtic will create plenty of chances in this game. I think there'll be chances for him to score. So he's obviously much bigger than Lee Griffiths, who is part of the headline offer as well. But I think Scott Sinclair at 7-4, just because I'm not 100% going to take Celtic at the price, for albeit I think they're the most likely winners of the game. We did see them lose to Lincoln Redimps of Gibraltar, obviously at short odds, so they're maybe not 100% reliable. I think if Celtic do win the game, which I think they probably will, I'd maybe move away from the outright and back Celtic and over 2.5 in the match at 8-5. I think that's a decent price because, as I said, my favourite bet of the lot is the 21-20 for over 2.5. But Celtic at the play, but I think over 2.5 goals at 21-20 is the main vote for this game. And I like Scott Sinclair any time as well at 7-4 to make it 3-3 since he made the switch north of the border.
Mm. Celtic's home form as well, just in general, is superb.
Yeah.
In pre-season, they drew a game with Leicester, which they lost on penalties, so I suppose that's technically a defeat. But before then, you have to go all the way back to December of 2015 when they lost to Motherwell for the last time they lost at Celtic Park, which is just a very, very good home record.
The atmosphere there as well is bound to be good. It always is for European nights. And this is Hapoel's first foray into the Champions League, albeit this is their third qualifying round already. They've been to Sheriff, where I can't imagine the atmosphere will be anywhere near. Olympiacos will have been a tough place to go.
Yeah.
But Celtic could just be that extra step above. So it'll be a bit of a new scenario for the Israeli players, whereas Celtic tried and tested in this competition.
Bizarrely as well, Celtic... I was trying to think of a reason why they would cancel a league game at the weekend and play in the International Champions Cup. And my theory on it is maybe it's because it would gear them up for European competition a little bit better than playing Partick Thistle in the league, perhaps.
Quite
possibly. They played Inter Milan, didn't they, at the weekend?
Yeah, they did, yeah. In the, as you say, in the International Champions Cup. Yeah, quite possibly. I've got no idea why they postponed the game to play Inter. I suspect money's got a large share saying it.
Yes, I suppose it probably would, but it's just I was just trying to think of any reason other than money, because football hasn't been ruined by money yet, according to roasting to the spectacle views.
Yes.
And I just wondered if perhaps it was a stroke of genius from Brendan Rodgers thinking maybe I'm giving him too much credit.
We'll put it down as that.
Let's move on to Thursday's game next then, in the UEFA Europa League qualifiers, Astra against West Ham. Astra are 4-1. The draw is 12-5. West Ham are 3-4. Several enhanced odds offers here as well. I'll spin through the West Ham ones because that would probably appeal to most. Andy Carroll to score in a West Ham win is 5-2, having been 13-8. Andre Ayew to score in a West Ham 1-0, 2-0 or 2-1 win is 5-1, having been 4-1. Interesting little backstory here, Sam, because West Ham didn't do too well in the Europa League qualifiers last year, and it was in fact Astra that knocked them out. So a chance for redemption, perhaps?
Yeah, definitely. They'll see it that way. But on the flip side, you know, the Astra players will be well up for this, thinking, you know, we beat them last year. Obviously, no one expects the Romanian side against the Premier League side. But Astra will be able to take plenty of confidence from that victory over two legs last year. It was 4-3 on aggregate. So we had two decent legs, a 2-2 draw at Upton Park before the Hammers went to Romania and lost 2-1. Astra actually went on after that to beat AZ Alkmaar 3-2 on home soil before going out in the away leg. And they're another side that, again, they're going to win the bulk of their home games domestically. They're one of the top teams in that division, and it's not as competitive as the Premier League. But they're another side who, in Europe, actually have a really good home record as well. They're unbeaten in the last five home games. West Ham have lost their last two travelling away, including the reverse fixture last year when they lost to Astra. And they were beaten by Damzale away from home this year. So they're not the best travellers, West Ham, certainly compared to Astra, who've got that phenomenal home record. I don't think the Premier League have helped them out very much either by scheduling West Ham as the first Monday night football game of the season. Obviously, we're recording this Monday afternoon, so we run the risk of looking foolish if West Ham stroll out 5-0 winners. But Astra played on Saturday, so they've had an extra 2 days to recover, and they haven't got to travel anyway. So West Ham have got 3 days. They've got a three-day turnaround after what I imagine is going to be a fairly strenuous 90 minutes at the Bridge. Astra picked up their first win of the season at the weekend. They're four games into their domestic season, so slightly a little bit more up to speed. This was their first win, but they beat Politimosara by 3-1. And I dare say that will have been an easier run out than West Ham are likely to face on Monday night. So with that taken into account, I think there's plenty of scope here to maybe back Astra plus a goal at 11-10, which would have, of course, landed in both legs last season. The 2-2 draw you'd have landed there, and the 2-1 victory as well for Astra would have landed. 11-10 they are, plus a goal. I suppose a little bit similar to the Manchester City game. West Ham are 3-4 outright. I guess you get slightly bigger price and more results in your favour with Astra on the double chance. Albeit you can see why West Ham are the favourites there, the Premier League side. But I imagine they would have been the favourites in a similar price last year. So, Astra plus one at 11-10 I like tentatively on the outrights. But the main bet here, I'm going slightly safer and playing just the other side of even money. It's 10-11 for both teams to score. And that's a definite bet for me. Landed in both legs last year, as we've said. Astra have played three times at home this season in the league. And whilst we said they've got a very good home record, they've actually shipped goals in all three home games so far this year. So they concede goals at home. The hardy rock solid at the back thus far this season. We saw West Ham concede away to Domzale. And I think they could definitely concede at least one goal. Two, West Ham are prolific away day scorers as well, by the way. The back end of last season, the last nine away games for West Ham, they scored on 8 of those. So I expect them to score, expect Astra to score at home, but probably concede as well. I'm just a little lukewarm on West Ham's chances there in terms of an outright. So I think Astra maybe plus a goal at 11-10 could be the safer bet with a couple of extra days to prepare. The memory of last year still fresh in their mind. But I would chance the both teams to score here at 10-11. I think it's a fairly strong bet.
Nice. I would have, considering that I expect West Ham to probably weaken down slightly for this game.
Yes.
Try not to lose the game in the away leg and then hopefully take advantage of possibly a friendly set of fixtures and a home tie in the second leg. If Astra had just been in a little bit better form, they don't, you know, they haven't really started this season very well. If you look at the last six games, they've only won one of them. Granted, it was the last one, so perhaps they're starting to turn the corner a little bit, but they're out of the they got knocked out of the Champions League qualifiers by FC Copenhagen, and it just at 4-1 I was almost tempted until I delved into it a little bit deeper, and then I'm not entirely convinced.
You are right, yeah. I mean, for them to be four games into the season and have only accumulated 4 points, for a side that, you know, usually right up there dominating with Steaua Bucharest, who we mentioned earlier. You are absolutely right. I guess I'm taking solace in the fact that they did pick up their first win at the weekend.
Yeah.
So maybe they're up to speed now after four games of the season. And for all that, I've waxed lyrical about their home form in Europe. The fact that they've conceded in all three of their home games domestically this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it would be understandable if, you know, that they've conceded to the leading lights in the Champions League at home. But, you know, I don't have to tell everyone the Romanian league, not the strongest. And they are one of the strongest sides in it. They've shipped goals every home tie this season. Yeah, so you are right. I'm hoping that the tide has turned. And with those extra 2 days to prepare for the game, no travelling involved, of course, for them, the home side. Last year's victory as well over two legs. I just think they're worth chancing at 11-10. Of course, we're trying to make our minds up about this game before seeing West Ham on Monday night, which is obviously difficult. But at time of recording, I think I just prefer the 11-10 to West Ham at 3-4 outright, because they're not, as of yet, prolific in Europe. Really, the defeat to Domžale was very, very disappointing. Lost over two legs to Astra last season. They haven't, as of yet, got that pedigree in Europe.
Very fair point. Best bet of all that, Sam, do you have one? Do you like anything in particular?
Steaua Bucharest +2. I'm very lukewarm about City's chances. So I think Steaua Bucharest plus a couple of goals. I definitely think they get on the score sheet. City just don't keep clean sheets away from home in the Champions League, especially if Vincent Kompany's not back. And you're getting a Steaua Bucharest win, a draw, and a City victory by a goal, all for a better price than just a City victory outright. So Steaua Bucharest +2 would be the pick of the three for me.
Superb, good work, Sam. Thank you very much.
Cheers, Mark. Thanks
for
that.
And enjoy this week.
Thank you very much.
So there you go, the thoughts of Sam Norris on this week's midweek action. Do enjoy that. Good luck if you're having a bet. And, of course, the punt will be back on Friday with Derek McGovern and Tom Kerwin to look ahead to this weekend's action as well. So do tune in again on Friday.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.